know, I've been in the ministry now for, I don't know how many years. Seriously, I'm losing count. 35, and whatever we did before we even got here too. So, you know, I'm probably getting close to 40 years in the ministry. Ugh. Oh, dear. That's as old as my daughter. But it still never ceases to amaze me how God moves in situations. Like this service today, I'm still like reeling from it in a sense, right from the choice of music, the songs this morning, and the prophetic words that came out, the testimonies. My sermon this morning is an encouraging word. That's the name of it. Like, to me, this whole service just has flowed right to what God is wanting to say to us today. And, you know, I just want us to open up with that first scripture, Hannah. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulation, that we may be able, here it is, and we heard it in the testimonies as well, right? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, we don't like that part, do we? So our consolation also abounds through Christ. And, you know, we heard it in the testimonies. You know, we are comforted by God, and it's part of our who we are to be that comfort and that consolation to other people wherever we are in our life's walk. And, you know, we're living in a time where there's distressing things happening and trouble things happening. You know, when you think about the fires and all those things, and, you know, people... Depression sets in and a sense of hopelessness sets in, not to mention the things that you go through in your everyday life yourself. You know, how many can say you never ever have anything awful happen to you in your life? Nobody. You know, you can't really say you ever get through a year without a challenge, a trial, or a tribulation. And so I think in times like these, we need to be encouraged. And boy, haven't we been already this morning. We need to be encouraged, and we need to be that encouragement for someone else. And, you know, and it's not just like, you know, when people think of encouragement, they think, oh, you look nice today, or oh, you did a great job. Yeah, that's encouragement, but that's not biblical encouragement. And it's nice to do those things too, right, compliment people. But biblical encouragement actually means to come alongside. And it really comes from the same word that we have parakletos, which is the work of the Holy Spirit as our comforter. So when we're talking in the Bible, when the Bible talks about encouragement, encouraging one another, it's saying to come along, to call to one side and come along to one side with the same comfort, like we read, that the Holy Spirit gives. He gives us that comfort. We give it to someone else. Biblical encouragement is sharing with someone a hope that lifts them up and gets them to look towards heaven, towards God. Right? It's a different kind of encouragement. Because really, in this day and age, the only encouragement that is really going to lift people, those who want it, is something that comes from the Lord. I mean, he is our rock. He is our fortress. And if it points a person to God's promises and assures them that God is on their side and get them through, let me tell you, that can be the most encouraging thing you do for somebody, even a non-Christian, which we've heard this morning, plenty of it. You know, it points them to their creator. It points them to who really wants, the fact that that man just bawled, you know, in your arms. Like, why? Because he had an experience with the God of the universe, being in contact with Michael. Right? So we're going to get encouragement today. And you know, the first person I thought of in the Bible, Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, we hear Barnabas in this stage and we hear about him in the missionary journeys. But let me tell you, imagine what it'd be like to have a name, son of encouragement. All right, that wasn't his name. Joseph was his name. And the apostles changed that and started calling him son of encouragement. Well, why would the apostles do this? There must have been some aura about this man. There must have been something about him that wherever he went, he encouraged people. He had a way of just lifting people up. Son of encouragement. And Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, never refers to him as Joseph. 23 more times Luke mentions him in the book of Acts, and he's referred to as Barnabas, son of encouragement. And Paul always referred to him as Barnabas, son of encouragement. And so you think, well, wow, you know, what was this guy like? What did he do? Well, you know, there's several examples. Right here, we're seeing here that he came and he laid some money at the apostles' feet. Obviously, he was wealthy, sold some land, and this was in a time of persecution. So, you know, Christians were like they were hiding, they were being persecuted, they were meeting in homes, and so everything they had, they shared amongst themselves. So it probably was nothing for him. Like, who knows? It might have been everything he had. But whatever. Right there, he sells his land, brings the money, and lays it at the apostles' feet. I think that would have been a huge encouragement to everyone who was there. It would have contributed to the needs of the believers right then and there. So number one, that's one thing. All right, now he's also known for being beside people in their trials and defending others and their character. How many times have you had to defend someone in their character, and have you done it? Wow, that's a big one. Usually we like, there's gossip going around, we like to get in there and add to it and tear that person down. But not Barnabas, he was a defender. For starters, the example of John Mark, I'm not going to go through all the scripture in these, but in Acts chapter 15, John Mark had been along with Paul, had done some ministry with Paul in his earlier missionary journeys. Now we don't hear all the details of it in scripture. But they had, apparently they had a, you know, a tiff, or John Mark left for whatever reason, left the ministry, and Paul was annoyed by it. So Barnabas, when he was with Paul on his second missionary journey, wanted to bring along John Mark. Now, why would that be? Obviously, he saw something in John Mark. He saw a potential in him. You know, was trying to come alongside him, as the word encouragement means, come alongside him, encourage him, lift him up and say, come on, you know, you can do this. And said to Paul, let's bring John Mark along. Paul absolutely refused. So he wasn't perfect. And it caused such a rift of contention that Paul and Barnabas separated and went their other ways. However, towards the end of some of Paul's letters, I don't know if it was the latter part of his life, how later it was, but he mentions John Mark on a couple of occasions on what a companion and support he was and help he was in the ministry. So obviously, what Barnabas saw, Paul did not see at that moment. He just was filled with, no, he left, that's it, move on. No more chances. All right, so Barnabas was a defender in this thing. And he also defended Paul, the Apostle Paul, in the early stages when Paul had after his conversion, and and he went away and got all these revelations from the Lord and then came back, the apostles didn't believe really that he was converted. Because, I mean, this is the guy that was going to go around killing, he was killing people, Christians, dragging them out of the synagogue and all that stuff and, putting them in prison. And they thought, it's a plant. It's a trick. this is a trick. We don't believe him. And in comes Son of Encouragement. And it was Barnabas who explained and said, no, look, come on, let's just meet him. It's true. It's really true. He has seen the Lord and he has had an amazing conversion. So this morning, we're going to have a dose of encouragement. We've already had a very big dose. Like, I can't believe how encouraging this service has been so far. But I just wanted to just build you up with scripture this morning and encourage you to encourage us to keep doing what you've been doing, what I've heard this morning, to keep doing that. And we can encourage one another in the Lord as well. So we're going to start with Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. We find ourselves in this day and age where so much is happening, so many disasters. Evil is called good. Good is called evil. And, Christian principles are considered to be intolerant. And so, we're coming into persecution. And it's not going to get any better, persecution-wise. All right? But Jesus is Lord. Amen? And so this is what the scripture says. What is our responsibility as a church then? How do we do this? This is what the scripture says to do. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And let me tell you, we are seeing that day approach. Hannah, just go back to the first, the 23rd verse again. And we're just going to leave these passages up because I just want to refer to a couple things here. So the first thing we see here is let us hold fast the confession of our hope. What's that confession? The confession of our hope is Jesus is Lord, number one. Jesus is Lord and Savior. Jesus is coming again. Hold fast to that confession that no matter what you're going through in your situation or whoever you come in contact with, Jesus is Lord and he has a plan and he wants to encourage and deliver people from their situations. I love the old hymn, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Let me tell you, we need to hold fast the confession of our hope, even in a world where Christian traditions are criticized. We need to hold fast to that because their ground is sinking sand. They may not know it, but it's sinking sand. And we have to be light and life and salt to those around us. All right, so hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. All right, sometimes we tend to waver. But we do it without wavering for why? He who promised is faithful. God is faithful. There are numerous scriptures that you could look up in the Bible, some of the ones that came to my mind was the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases in Lamentations. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. You can wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and that I will see new mercies from you today. Every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He who calls you is faithful and he will surely do it. There's tons of them. And the one I really love in Hebrews where it says, even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. Come on, we've all been through seasons and we go through days where we are faithless. Let's face it. But he's faithful. He still is faithful when we are faithless. That really, it affects me greatly because there's times I hear him say it to me. You know, you just think, oh, you know, Lord, I'm sorry. My attitudes, whatever. I just don't feel strong and faith and what. And you could hear him say it. Yes, but I'm faithful. Even when you're faithless, I am faithful. How great is our God? Faithful. And then verse 24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I want to get you stirred up today. Right? We need to stir up each other to love and good works. It's kind of like the stirring of a hornet's nest. Ever done that? Ever been like, I haven't actually been in the place of a hornet's nest, but where our offices used to be on Avondale, where Ben's mother's house was, every so often, couple of years, there'd be a swarm of bees that would come. And like, you know, it was almost like surrounding the whole place. And they were just like everywhere, you know. But if you were to get a stick and hit a hornet's nest, they're going to go everywhere. So what am I saying? I'm not saying go out and sting people. I'm saying we need to stir each other up in the same way to just go out there, go everywhere, do what's in your heart. Pray for that neighbor. Pray for that woman that asked you to pray. And even if she doesn't ask you, offer to pray. You know, hey, people have a choice. They have a choice. They could say, no, thank you. I don't believe in that. They have a choice. Just ask. Just ask. You know, and we need to stir one another up in our most holy, encourage yourself in your most holy faith, but stir one another up to love and good works. And, you know, that's what we just did here this morning. Those testimonies, if that, like Ben said, if that didn't stir you up and encourage you to just wherever you are, listen to the Holy Spirit. Be an encourager. Be a Barnabas. Be that son of encouragement. And you know what? It'll come to you too. I'm sure you've had the same experience as me. There's times I have said to the Lord, I just need some encouragement. I need something. You got to give me something, show me something just to make you feel like you're on the right track or things are going to be okay. I mean, you know the word says that, but you know, every now and then you just need something. That's something special. And, you know, God always does it. He finds a way to encourage us through someone else, through a word, you know, through a song, whatever. He finds a way to encourage us, and we need to be that encouragement to other people as well. And it says then, forsake not, next verse, the assembling of yourselves together as is manner of some. How good was this? Now, if you weren't here today, if you were forsaking the assembling of yourself together, you wouldn't have got all that encouragement today. How good is that? You know, it says, forsake not of the assembling of yourselves together. Church, we need each other. We need each other in these last days. We need to draw from each other's faith. We need to draw from each other's encouragement and love. Joy and peace. You know, like scripture says, sometimes some are down, but the ones who are up will lift them up. And, you know, we weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. That's what family does. And we need to be here, yes, to worship and to hear the word of God, but to encourage one another and stir each other up to good works in these trying days that we are facing. And I can't say it, you know, any more clearly that things will get difficult. Scripture says so. As we get closer to the end of this age, things will get more difficult. But Jesus is Lord. And he gives grace. Gives grace, gives that anointing in times of trouble. And he's there to lift us up. And we need to come together frequently. You know, if you can get along to a midweek group at this stage, we just have the Kiama One meeting. Get along to one, you know, and get that encouragement and that built up from one another. All right, so I'm just going to rattle off a few verses here before I close. You might want to jot them down. I find them very encouraging. And I'm just going to pull them up on mine just in case they read a bit differently. But I get you to pull that up, Hannah. Hold on. Okay, the first one is 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 in the NIV. I'll see if it's the same. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and work. So here we go. It says, go back to the first verse. May the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement. That is never ending. You have never ending encouragement from the Lord. And good hope. Encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. So in everything that you do, every time you encourage someone, every good deed, every good word, you know, I am encouraging you that God will encourage your hearts and strengthen you and strengthen you in every good deed and word. All right, so that was the first one. The next one, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. And you are doing it. You are amazing. Scripture says, do it. There's so much in the Word to encourage us and to build us up. Encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. And then the next one, in the NLT, this one, very popular that we know. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And you know, sometimes when there's disaster all around us, you know, fear can creep in. And you could think, well, but you know, that's what Psalm 91's for. Get it. If you don't know it, I would suggest you get it out, read it every day, memorize it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. And it goes on and on. You know, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. So as that scripture said, just put that one up, disaster, sorry, yes, that was the word. I don't know if, yes, it had it in there. His plans for us are not for disaster, but to give you a future and a hope. Plead the blood of Jesus every day over your children before they go to school, you know, before you leave for work, when you drive in the car. Just plead the blood of Jesus in Psalm 91 and loose angels every day. Praise the Lord. And the last one is Romans 15, 4 and 5. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. Did you hear that? He's talking about the word here. Was written to teach us so that through endurance, it's going to take endurance, and the encouragement of what? The scriptures. through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, it's through the encouragement of the scriptures. If you got a Bible in your house or several Bibles or on your phone and you never look at it, forget getting encouraged. I'm telling you, people, we are living in a day where we cannot afford to ignore God's word. We need to have it planted in there. We need it in our homes. Our teenagers need it. Our children need it. We need to be reading the word. And I don't want to hear, I don't understand it, or I don't this, or I don't that. You know, there's so many translations out there, you know, and I just think, you just ask God to show you. You need to have word in you every day, even if it's just a few things, you know, across the Bible, things that will encourage and support you and uphold you. It says, put that first verse up again. It says, so that through endurance, let me tell you, you're not going to have endurance if you don't first have the encouragement of the scriptures. Through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we have hope. I say them to my little granddaughter like I did my other two. I say them, and she just looks at me. She knows. She knows. When we've had a near miss, we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God has protected us. And I turn around to her and I say, Brooklyn, you know why? That's because God sends his angels to protect us. The Bible says that, and that no harm will come to us. And she looks at me and goes, I did it with these two. I did it with my kids. Encouragement of the scriptures. You don't want to go through life not knowing what God's saying in situations and not having that hope in him. You need it in here. Your kids need the scriptures. Your kids need to know God is on their side. They need to be encouraged in the things of the Lord. And we all do. So, you know, I just want to say, you know, God wants us to show ourselves strong on his behalf. Show ourselves strong to those around us, as you've done to everyone that you meet and come in contact with. Impart courage. Because let me tell you, the enemy is trying desperately to steal our courage. You can see that. You can just see the heaviness that has come across this nation from those fires. Just the heaviness, but trying to just steal courage and steal hope. And, you know, and it's wonderful what, you know, how the nation has come together and everything. That's wonderful. Even, you know, what the Tennis Association is doing, you know, for the fires. And I know Hillsong has contributed a lot. But, you know, it needs to be a constant thing where we look for, because, you know, that's going to die down eventually. It's going to die down. And, you know, you could come and come, even though we're living pretty far from most of them, you could come in contact with people who know people who have been devastated. And, you know, you need to just keep that, impart courage to people. Impart courage to your children. Impart courage to your coworkers. Impart courage to your neighbors, like Michael did. Impart courage to your boss. Wherever you are, impart courage or the encouragement of the Lord. That's in you. Amen? Amen. I'm just stand. I'm just going to close in prayer. Praise you. Father, we just thank you for how you just orchestrated everything this morning. And we hear what you are wanting to say to us today. And we thank you because you know where we're at. You know where everyone is at, not only in this congregation, but around the communities, around this nation. You know what we're facing and we're experiencing. You've been there. You go before us. But you hedge us in from behind. You go before us and you hedge us in from behind. And your love is so great for us. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you have spoken to us in this service today. And I pray, Lord, as a body, we would all go away encouraged in the Lord and ready to encourage those we meet on our path this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Chuck and I won't be here the next two Sundays. We're having some time off for the tennis.